Before you listen to this episode, just so you know, I just did two webinars, one with Rachel Tuckman on getting ready for the holiday of Passover, and one with Blimi Heller about how to handle all the food around Purim time, which could be applied to any time of year, in Pesach. And there is now a discount going on my website, GilaGlassberg.com, that if you buy one, you get the other one free. So a BOGO sale, no code is required. If you put both of them in your cart, you'll buy one and get the other one free. So go check that out. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Get Into It with Gila. I'm Gila Glassberg, your host, registered dietitian and intuitive eating counselor. And today I have on such a cool guest. Her name is Tzvi Palatov / Asos. And she's my cousin, so I should know how to say her last name. Anyways, Tzvi has an amazing story to share about her journey through an eating disorder, mental illness, anxiety, depression, and she's very brave to share her story. Now, I know that there's like this concept of like oversharing or like not sharing because of stigma. I think everybody has to do what works for them. And one person's oversharing could be one person's undersharing, you know? But I think that Tzvi does a great job sharing her story, that it's not just, she's not just like sort of dumping her story on you. She's really expressing what she went through and her pain and her struggle and her realness and how it doesn't define her. And I was really inspired. I actually like texted her parents after, like, wow, I'm really impressed. And like she said on the episode, like, she was, I'm like, why didn't you tell me this? You know, she's like, well, I'm not going around like shouting it from the rooftops, but if you asked me, I would have told you. So I think that, you know, obviously I treat eating disorders and more disordered eating as a dietitian who specializes in intuitive eating. And her story is not the only story that I've heard like this. Actually, I hear this story, a similar story, not the same story, but quite often. And eating disorders are something that are just really hard to understand. They're so multifaceted. And I think that it's important to hear the trajectory of her story, how it began and where she's holding now. And if you are struggling with an eating disorder or any sort of mental illness, this is a trigger warning, and there is some explicit information shared. So if you don't want to hear it or your little ones to hear it, and I mean things like self-harm and things like that. So just to put a disclaimer out there. And as I wrote in the show notes, I actually had a few episodes to choose from before Pesach to put out an episode. And I thought this one would be a really good one because it's informative. It helps us really think about what we want to be talking about over Pesach while we're with like close family and friends, and how to be careful with our language. It's also a light, fun conversation because she is my cousin after all. So you'll laugh and you might cry. And it's something I would want to listen to while I'm like, you know, knee deep in Pesach cleaning and cooking. So it's like entertaining, but also informative. And it is the season of freedom, right? We do have our Jewish brothers and sisters still really not free in Gaza, and we have to daven for them, and we have to really try to tap into the energy of freedom. And while right now we are trying to do everything that we can for those who are trapped, and I think that it's like an important thing to just, I can't not mention it here. To take a different turn with freedom, I want you to think about things that are holding you back in your life, that are making you feel trapped, whether it is potentially an eating disorder or binge eating disorder, like you can't stop eating and you really want to stop eating, or you really want to give up the thin ideal and stop dieting and stop, you know, subscribing to all the diet culture around you. It's hard. It's really, really hard to do. And this is the time of year where we are able to really reflect inward and see what are the things that we're doing that we're not happy about. And even just to pick a tiny small thing that you want to take upon yourself. You know, Judaism really in life in general is not black and white. So even if you say you're going to do it only during the Passover season, it still counts. It still helps. It still makes an impression. So something small, and be gentle with yourself. And Rachel Tuckman and I just did a workshop really specifically on Pesach, but just in general, our lifestyle as Jewish people is always changing, whether it's all the holidays or the changeover from school to camp to camp to school. I just think we always have these like big life changes that we have to constantly be really adjusting to. So check out that webinar at my website, gilaglassberg.com. You could still purchase it now. You could watch it. It comes with a handout. It actually has a bunch of kosher Pesach recipes, and it has a meal plan on there for, in general, for the week before Pesach. So you could get yourself really prepared, which is now. And the week of Pesach, so just ideas of things to keep in the house and have if you're hungry or if you're feeling like, oh, I can't think about what to cook. Also just some ideas to help you plan your self-care plan. There's also a webinar with Blimi Heller where we talk about just all the food that's always around for our children and how to help them navigate that. And that's also available for purchase. There's many other actually webinars on my website, including my self-paced intuitive eating course. So again, just go to my website, gilaglassberg.com, to check that out. And I have to just announce that I am really excited to tell you that I'm working on an e-cookbook that if you follow me on Instagram or on my WhatsApp status, you'll see that hopefully my recipes are really pretty quick and easy, and they do, I don't want to say they're nutritious because I think every food has nutrition, so I haven't come up with the right term, but they're wholesome and they have a lot of recipes are showing you how to incorporate protein, carbs, fats, fiber, things that are good for you to eat and important for you to keep in mind in a way that's we call gentle nutrition. So there's a lot coming on the website, gilaglassberg.com. Also, there'll be more live webinars. If you have a recommendation of someone you'd like me to do a webinar with or just a topic you'd like me to cover, reach out to me at gila@gilaglassberg.com. And I look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful Pesach. Enjoy this episode and have a great day. Hi, everyone, and welcome to my podcast, Get Into It with Gila.
I know you're going to love the content here because you will gain inspiration, powerful tools and insights, and valuable knowledge. If you want more of this, please visit my website at www.gilaglassberg.com or visit me on Instagram at Gila Glassberg. I'm Gila Glassberg, a registered dietitian and intuitive eating counselor. I've come to realize by counseling many, many women that this work is much deeper and greater than food and body image. It's the bigger picture challenges we face of love, belonging, acceptance, what our true values and goals are, noticing them, addressing them, and gaining skills to move forward. If you have been struggling with what your life's purpose is, or you just feel stuck in general and don't know what's holding you back, this podcast will enlighten and inspire you to take action and move forward. This podcast is about other women in the 21st century who feel that losing weight will fix all their problems or somehow meet their unmet needs.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Get Into It with Gila. I'm Gila Glassberg, your host. And today I have on Sivi Politov / Asos. Did I say it right?
Asos. With
okay.
A Z.
With a Z. Sivi Politov is my first cousin. That's my maiden name. And now Sivi is newly married. So she has a new last name.
Yeah.
So Sivi, I thought you would be such a good guest to come on my podcast because you've also struggled with food-related issues and body things. And why don't you just start off by telling the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Sivi Politov Asos, born and raised for Rockaway, New York. Gila's my first cousin. I'm currently finishing up my bachelor's in psychology, and I am a preschool teacher at the JCC. I have 12 2-year-olds that I get to hang out with every day.
That's a lot of 2-year-olds.
Yeah, but they're so much fun. They're so funny.
Yeah, they are really funny. I have an only 2-year-old and he happens to be hilarious. So I can't imagine like 12 of them. It's funny when you say that you're born and raised in Farapa because I'm like born and raised in Scranton. But like I think you are from Scranton, but obviously you're not.
Everyone thinks I'm from Scranton because I kind of have like a little bit of, like I don't have the New York accent. I have like more out of town. So no one guesses that I'm from New York.
Scranton.
Well, that's how I grew up with it.
I know.
I was there every other week.
Just for some context, there's 3 siblings, my dad, your dad, and then the sister. And so my dad and Aunt Shani, we all lived in Scranton. So you were like the outsider here in New York.
We were so outsiders, but both my grandparents lived there. Right. So strong Scrantonian roots.
Yes, and you guys, I guess it's funny, you're really literally the only ones in New York because like all your grandparents and cousins. Anyways, but now we live near each other. Okay, so if you don't mind, tell us like, where did your journey begin when it comes to like body image, food related issues, like start from the beginning?
So it all started in 7th grade. I was more aware of bodies. in like not a creepy way. I definitely struggled a lot that year. It happens to be, it was a really big year, just like with things in general. It started off with Sandy, where our house, well, we got completely uprooted for 6 weeks. We were living in someone's basement. And there, I guess I was like finally around a girl my age because I have two older brothers. So in my house, it was kind of like sports life. So like
It
the
still
idea of
is.
like,
It still
it
is.
still is, it still
Yes.
is, but at least I got two girls after me. So like we
Yeah.
kind of a little,
Yeah.
but it was more focused on that. Like I wasn't even like aware. I was like, oh, whatever. Like I'll just play hockey when I get home. Like it wasn't any thing. And then we were living in someone's house and they had a daughter a year older than me. And that was like, I guess my first time being in like close quarters, someone my age, where I was like, oh, like she was kind of like focusing on like we were having salad every night and like we would have vegetables, but it wasn't like officially like, okay, we're having salad tonight with our soup, with our dinner. Like my mom would always make balanced meals, but it wasn't like it was like cut up vegetables. Like it wasn't like, oh yeah, they're just there. And I kind of just became aware of everything. I wasn't like a small kid. I was always on the chubbier side. And that was kind of when like I started to realize like, wait, like I'm wearing a size 16 uniform shirt. Like that's quite large for a 12-year-old. And I don't even know where it like started. It was just my head. I was just like, wait, is this normal? Like I got really self-conscious about everything. And I just kind of went in like a downward spiral. 8th grade was really bad because you started with like yearbook pictures and everyone wanted to get their makeup done and
So
their hair
young, it's
done.
so young. Like when you look back on it,
It's
you
so
realize
little.
it's
It's
really young.
so little. And like that was even, it wasn't even like weight then. It was more of like body image. I was just like, wait, I have curly, frizzy hair. I don't wear makeup. Like it was just kind of where like my phase of like, wait, I shouldn't be a tomboy. Like I shouldn't want to go home and do like football clinics with my brother on the back porch. I should be doing other things. I should be learning how to put on makeup. Like what is mascara?
That's funny. Can I stop you for a second? So in
Yeah.
seventh grade, was this before sleepaway camp?
No, I had gone to sleepaway camp, but I guess in sleepaway camp, it was all I started going to sleepaway camp the summer after 3rd grade. And
That's really young. That's what I thought. That's why when you said like the
yeah,
first
I
thing, I
started really, but like at sleepaway camp, it was so different because it's like we were all gross in sleepaway camp. Like our campus was disgusting. Your sister was there 1 year in our old campus,
okay, I won't
and
say which camp.
it was disgusting, like absolutely disgusting. And then when we came to the other campus, like I guess it was just like that thing where like everyone was like in agreement, like we're here to play sports. We're here to have fun. It wasn't like a girly, like fritzy camp when I was there. Like, we were just there to have fun. So no one really thought about that in camp. It was just like, okay, like we're gonna go slide in the mud. We'll take a shower after, but like we'll go slide in the mud because it's raining. So why
That's
not?
so fun. It's like how it should be, you know? Like we shouldn't be like obsessed
Yeah.
with the way we look now, like as
Yeah.
adults, for sure not as kids, you know?
Yeah, no, camp was like the greatest time. I think I also, because I was so into sports, like I didn't mess with the girls who were like doing their hair before Shabbos when we were younger. Because I was like, but like we can be playing outside. Why are we going to be sitting in here doing this?
I think it speaks to the way that you were raised also, that there wasn't like such a big emphasis on like the thin ideal and the way that people look,
Yeah.
right? It was like that's just like not, I think, a
Yeah, it
thing.
wasn't even like brought up. Like the first time, it's funny because the first time I even heard of like whole wheat or anything was when you were living in our
Oh
house.
God, from me. For sure it was from me. Like I will take that blame when like what was it like 15 years ago, 14 years ago?
Long ago,
I know, because
but like,
Sandy, I was pregnant with Shayna, my oldest, who's 11. So
Simo was
that's
living by us.
my other sister. But okay,
Yeah.
so 1 second. So seventh grade. So it sounds like before that time of seventh grade, you didn't really like think about the way you looked. You just looked the way
No.
you looked and like it was chilled.
Yeah, I didn't care. Like, now looking back, I'm just like, oh my God, like, it's something so stupid. My bat mitzvah dress was sent to us by accident when we did a Pesach order by JCPenney, and it just like showed up in the box. And my mom was like, oh, it's perfect. That's what you'll wear. And like, I didn't care. I was like, oh yeah, that's what I'm gonna wear. And now I'm looking back and I'm like, oh gosh, why with the white shell under the black dress? Like,
Everybody wore that then.
I know, but like, it's just funny because I was just like, oh yeah, it showed up by accident. It must have just been the thing. Like, that's what
Meant
I
to
have to
be,
wear.
yeah.
Yeah.
Truly. Yeah, like you were
Like, I
stupid,
didn't
and
care.
you she was chilled, you were chilled, and it was just like, which maybe
Yeah.
was a little bit like different than the kids around you, because like not everybody in frat boys like that.
Well, definitely when I was growing up, Farakwa was more like that. Like, the Farakwa I grew up with versus now is completely different.
It was like less materialistic. I'm not putting down frat boy, but I'm saying like whatever,
It
like
was also like, I don't know, I feel like Farakwa is becoming the new Brooklyn.
right.
And Farakwa used to be like the out of town.
I love when people say that. I'm from Queens. I'm from out of town. I'm like, what? Do you know
No,
what
it's like,
Scranton
it's
is?
not out of town. Right. But like, that
Yeah.
was also the house I grew up in.
Right. It's
Like,
true.
I
Both of your
grew.
parents are out of towners.
Yeah. So, like, I tell people, I'm like, yeah, we've had people drive to our Shabbos meals. And they're like, what
Right.
are you talking about? I
Right,
was like, yeah,
totally.
we'd leave the driveway open because there's no parking by our street. Like,
We should actually just like leave your parents' name and number here, because like your parents like have a literally open house. Like when I was living there, people would just come in and take naps. And your parents have a lot, not
besides for the
everybody,
naps,
most people aren't like that.
I know my parents after Sandy didn't change the code because they would have had to send out a mass email.
That's hysterical. It's true.
Had, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people used to come to our house, they knew where the dishes were, they'd just take them, set their own Shabbos place, and we're just like,
Totally.
oh, okay,
It was so
you're
nice.
here.
I remember that. It was so nice. Now I live in Windmere,
So
really
much
far
fun.
away. But
I know.
my Farakway siblings still do that.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? They love it. My dad loves when people come and call him Uncle Yahoo, which, like,
Yeah.
only your family does.
Right. I mean, yeah, he's Uncle Yahoo. That's just his name. And so do my kids. My kids call him Uncle Yahoo too.
I know. And it's very funny because the Farakwe cousins are a lot more shy than your kids.
My kids are not
Like, they'll
shy.
come in
Yeah.
and they take a few minutes to like warm up
Yeah.
to everyone.
Yeah.
And my mom takes out the same exact toys for every single cousin.
Well, your mom's the
It's like these
best.
little like figurine, like Disney figurines
Of
that
course,
we
Disney.
got 15 years old. They were
Disney
bought
everything.
when my youngest sister was born. Once Spore was born, that's when they were bought. And they've been entertaining cousins for 15 years.
Well, just so you know, whoever's listening, your mother's Maura Marnie, so people don't even have to say
Yeah.
Maura Marnie. Everyone knows your aunt's Maura Marnie. Yeah, she's Maura Marnie. She is really the best. Okay, anyway, so let's go back to seventh grade.
Yes.
So, you Sandy happened, which would you say that like just that in and of itself was traumatic, just like moving out of your house, or was it
Oh
nothing to do
yeah.
with it? Oh, okay, bye.
No, it was definitely traumatic. We also stayed. We
In the house.
stayed in the
Oh,
house
during
at
yeah, I remember.
the electricity went out in 1 in the afternoon and everyone's evacuating. And my dad's like, nah, it's fine. It's gonna be like Irene. It's totally fine. Us and my next door neighbors, we were the only people in, I wanna say Farakwe, we were the only people on our block for sure. And we were there, no power, literally listening to the water rushing into the house. And yeah, that was definitely traumatic. I
So
thought I was gonna
scary.
die.
It's so scary. It's so scary. Right.
Yeah.
And also, like, you're at first, your parents thought like the house was fine. And
But
then,
the
like, there,
first floor was done.
right. The water came into the walls and like ruined your whole first floor.
Yeah.
And then you didn't have electricity, so you had to move out.
Yeah, and it was so cold. But my mom was very hesitant about moving out because she was scared of looters.
Right.
So my dad actually concocted a plan and had my younger siblings kidnapped by the people we were eventually going to stay at. My dad's like, yeah, they're at their house. Like, we'll just go pick them up. Meanwhile, my dad had our bags packed. Like, we were not staying another night. It was so cold.
Oh my gosh, that's so your dad and your mom. Wow.
Like,
on all levels. Okay, so you
was
moved in,
so cold.
but was it a good, it was a good friend of your mom's who you moved in.
Yeah, we're still very close with them.
Okay, so you moved in
Yeah.
and then there was like this like body comparison, which is like so normal,
Yeah.
especially like,
Yeah.
and then, but that for you like really spurred like negative body image. Okay, so that
They're
was
kind
seventh grade.
of, yeah, that was seventh grade.
And then eighth grade, it got really bad.
Yeah, eighth grade was when it got really bad. And like, it's funny when I think back and I'm like, where did these ideas even come to me? When eighth grade was when I started not eating, which is like anyone who knows me, it's like the craziest thing to think of now because I love food. I
I
love
also
it.
love them. Yeah.
And like in my house, we always had ice cream, which love.
Yeah.
Like we still go every Saturday night to get ice cream at Carvel because like that's apparently what you did out of town. So that's what we had
Yeah.
to do in Rockaway.
In town.
And
Also, your
I
mom loves
just,
ice cream. Like, she would eat ice cream like every
she
single night.
loves it. She used to send me emails in camp, like, okay, it's late. I gotta go have my ice cream. And I was just like, you can't send that to me. I'm in camp. I don't have access to that.
It's so cute.
And so I just stopped eating because I was like, oh yeah, no, this is definitely what is gonna help me get to my ideal body, which I don't even think I had an ideal body at that point. But I was just like, yeah, this is definitely what I'm supposed to do. And then if I ate something, I would like punish myself by making myself throw up.
So
'Cause I
you
was
don't know where
like,
you got that idea from?
no, I don't even know. Like, happens to be, I have a really bad gag reflex. Yeah, my dentist used to get really mad at me. And I don't even know how I thought about it.
You think it
I
was
was
from
like, oh,
movies
it went
or?
in. No, because as much as like, yeah, we had TV, I wasn't able to watch like real things. Like the first
Right.
TV show I ever watched was like Once Upon a Time. And I was much older than like the intended age for that to be. Yeah, like I never watched a movie that discussed mental health or anything like that.
Did you
It
read
was just
any
something.
books? Do you think you got it from a friend or mom, or you just really just it came to you?
No, like even to this day, I don't know of any friends that like dealt with anything like this. Like me and my friends are really open about a lot of things.
Right.
This is just one thing that like to this day, I'm not like I just don't think any of them had
Right.
dealt with that.
Right.
Yeah, I like it's still like to like this day, I'm just like, what? Like, where did I get this idea?
Right.
Where did it come from?
Right. So you, okay, whatever. It's probably from a combination of things that like you realized
Yeah.
or like you thought, like if I eat less, I'll lose weight. And if I lose weight, I'll be like prettier or more loved or whatever. Most kids get that
Yeah.
for some horrible reason. We deliver that message to kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And
So
yeah, makes sense.
yeah, so that was eighth grade. And then did people start complimenting you? Did people start noticing what was going on?
So, not really in eighth grade. When I think that like made me even more determined. So I was like, oh, I'm not doing enough. Like no one's noticing anything. So like I don't think anyone realized in eighth grade that anything was going on.
Did your parents know?
I don't think they realized to what extent if they did know anything was going on. Because also I happen to be a really jokey person.
Right.
So even like when I go through things like people are just like, wait, is something happening? Or like
Right.
what's happening?
You put up a good show.
Yeah, it's like my big coping mechanism is
Right.
jokes,
Right.
which I definitely get from my dad.
Someone I know
Who
well.
gets
Oh my gosh. Okay,
it from
so
his mom?
oh yes, Bubby. Oh my gosh. I really need to bring Bubby on the podcast. You know, like that famous grandmother on TikTok? Like that would be
There's
our
so
grandmother.
many. There's so many.
But our grandmother would
I'm gonna be with her for Pesach, so I'll have
You'll get her
technology. We can do
on.
it.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah.
you'll get her. Okay. So I'm just trying to think of the order. So eighth grade. So also, did you feel guilty about throwing up? Like, did you have any feelings of like shame or guilt?
No. In like a weird way, I felt like I guess like
Powerful.
I was accomplishing something. I was
Right.
like, oh yeah, I made a pact that I wasn't gonna eat before 1 o'clock. And every day I got that, it was like, I did it. And then
So sad.
I think every time I like threw up, I was just like, oh, no one caught me. Like,
Right.
look at what I was able to do. Like, no one knows what's going on.
So
So
you don't have to answer, but was there any other stuff going on like that you
in
think?
eighth grade, no. In eighth grade, no. High school was not a great time.
But I mean, like, let's say, like you said, like you don't even know where you got the idea to throw up or anything like that. Do you think a lot of times people with like anorexia, bulimia, that's like that is their coping mechanism. Like, let's say you said you wanted to get attention, you wanted to like accomplish, like why? Because maybe you weren't good at school, maybe you weren't getting enough attention at home or from your friends or whatever. You know, that is usually what happens.
No, so nothing was really going on. Like, after like a lot of therapy, like I realized that there was guilt going on, and it was kind of my way, as much as like in the moment I thought like, oh, look at what I'm accomplishing, was kind of my way of being like, no, like you did something, I'm feeling guilty about it, so we're not gonna eat, we're not gonna let you enjoy.
It was like punishment, like self-sabotage. That's part of it too.
But it wasn't something that like I realized until like years after that that's what was happening.
It's for sure not like co a conscious choice, especially when you're in like 7th, 8th grade. It just like kind of happens. So then 9th grade, you were not
Ninth
happy.
grade. No, I was not happy. Ninth grade was kind of like that awkward, like I think everyone has an awkward ninth grade. But I didn't want to be in the high school I was in. Like the school had already changed, not to like as much as it has now, but I was in Bay Yaakov, and my family's not a Bay Yaakov family. We might be like out of town Bay Yaakov, but not like far
In
out the way Bay
town.
Yaakov at all.
Which is really
And
hard, just for like moms listening. Like, it is really hard when like your kid's in the wrong school for them, and like you're obviously doing the best you can as a parent, and it's just like sometimes that just happens, you know? Like, especially in town, it's like if you don't fit a certain box, you like really stand out, unfortunately.
And they're also like now they're, I think there's one more like main community school in the five towns. Like then it was either you were in Bais Yaakov or you were in SK. And like it just wasn't, my family didn't fit in either of those boxes. And it was kind of like, okay, well, I've been in the school since kindergarten, so we're just gonna continue. And I don't think it was the school's fault. Like, I don't think that, I think if I was in any other school, I still would have gone through everything, but I don't think it helped.
That's a good way of looking at it. That's a mature way of looking at it.
Because I don't think like the school didn't do anything to me. And the school was actually very supportive throughout all 4 years. They were really supportive. It was just kind of more in me losing myself because I was like, oh, my family does XYZ, but the school says we're not allowed to.
It's very confusing.
It was definitely very confusing. It wasn't like we were doing bad things. It was just like, oh, like big example, I went on a Pesach program. I worked in the day camp. We were not allowed to work anywhere that boys were employed. So that was like a big taboo where like no one can find out I was working in the day camp. And meanwhile, my dad worked on the program. It wasn't like I was going on a program as a single girl, like with friends. Like my siblings went to the day camp. But that like we couldn't let them know because that wasn't allowed. So
That's
that
really hard.
definitely, yeah, it definitely didn't help.
So was it the fact that ninth grade, was it, did you have friends? Was it a social thing, or was it just feeling like you
No,
weren't in the
I had a great group of friends throughout the entirety of high school. I had a great group of friends. I don't like now that like I had mentioned about like the guilt. Like now I'm realizing that that had played a huge part. That there was some like personal family things that like I blame myself for that like that played a huge part in it. But like starting in like ninth grade, I kind of just felt alone. Because my friends were fitting into high school. They're like getting it. And I didn't get it. In whatever way you get high school.
I get it. High school's really hard.
High
It is.
school was, I
Yes.
wasn't a
How
bad student either. Like
Like you did well academically?
I did fine. Like, yeah, I wasn't in honors. I always struggled in the Hebrew subjects, so like being put in like modified as they called it, I was just like, oh yeah, no, I just can't let anyone know that I'm a granddaughter of a rabbi. But it was more of like a struggle with like the language. So I was like, okay, like if I get English tests and they call it modified,
Right.
That's better for me.
I also
I
got
still
that, by the way, and I still
yeah.
can't speak any Hebrew or understand any Hebrew. It's like really funny. But it's not like language and like different things are on different sides of your brain. So like some people are just stronger in language, just the way it is. But it could make you, I felt so stupid about that when I was in high school.
Oh,
Like
I
it
was
is
so proud of it.
really.
Yeah, I used to like make fun of my friends. I was like, "You have homework? Like, what is that?"
I was like, wow, I'm really dumb. Like I'm just like the dumbest. I feel like that does make some kids feel really dumb. Like, like
Right.
it
No, I totally like the fact that they called it modified and they like had
could.
an M on our schedule, like really big blows to ego, but I
Yeah,
was just
totally.
like
You were
there's only
happy in that way
people.
that you didn't have more
We had the
homework.
better teachers.
Right.
I know,
It doesn't always
controversial,
work
but
like that, by the way. It doesn't always work like that. A
I
lot of
know.
times it's the opposite. It's really sad. Anyways, we don't have to talk about this. It's too sad for me. But this is not about me and this is about you. But our stories do kind of overlap in a lot of ways, actually. I'm thinking about that now. But mine started in high school. So yours started much younger, very, very young. I would say it's probably harder in New York. It probably is just harder in New York with, so what, when you say it got really bad in ninth grade, what happened?
I started really feeling like anxiety and depression, but I didn't know what it was. I was just in a really like dark place, but it was something where like I was feeling that way, but I couldn't tell anyone. It was like a secret because no one had ever spoken about that. I was just like, oh, I'm just feeling really sad and like don't want to go anywhere and just want to curl up and be like by myself.
And did people kind of think you were just like introverted? Like people didn't look at it as like depression?
Yeah, because I was going to school. Like, I just wasn't, I don't know, I just wasn't being like out in the open. But like, if my friends invited me to go somewhere, I would go. I didn't want to be there, but like, I would go. It also, like, to this day, I don't know if this was just in my head or like reality, but I always felt like no one was inviting me. I was the one initiating. So, like, if I didn't initiate, I knew I would have been in my bedroom way more. So I was sometimes like, oh no, like why am I staying in my bedroom for like 5 Sundays in a row? I have to call someone. I have to go out. Like, this isn't normal. Even though all I wanted to do was curl into a ball and stay under the covers and not leave.
Were you like just lying there? Were you like watching movies? Or were you just like really depressed?
I was definitely really depressed. Yeah, I was. YouTube was such a dangerous hole. But like looking back, I did like the weirdest YouTube dives when I was depressed. Like I could tell you some random facts about like the Challenger explosion.
I'm not sure what that
Because
is. What is that?
it's a spacecraft that exploded.
Oh, okay.
I've listened to the last what's it called? The last like recording before it exploded.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like it wasn't a happy YouTube deep dive.
Right. That doesn't sound happy at all. Was it to help you just like zone out because it was like so
Yeah.
far-fetched you're going through?
Yeah, that's also I was always a big reader. But starting in ninth grade, I really got into like fantasy and like the most fiction I can find because I would lose myself.
Right.
Like, I would get into a book and I'm not getting up until I'm done
Right, totally.
because it wasn't reality. And
Right.
like it was a safe spot because books were always my safe space. So like I just got into super fiction, and I was just like, okay, like this is where I am, and this is just what I'm gonna do.
So basically, like during the week, you seemed like you were totally fine. And then it was like Shabbos Sunday that you just kind of like isolated.
So during the week in school, I seemed totally fine. I would come home, I think there might have been an indent in the couch to where I sat all day. Like, I would come home and literally not move.
Right. So it's interesting, though, because on the couch, you were with your family. It wasn't like you were so super
Right.
isolated.
Because if I went to my room, then someone would have known something was up. And like the nights that I would go to my room, I would be forced more to go down for dinner. And if I was on the couch, it was kind of like, okay, like she's on the couch, she'll eat when she eats. And it was a lot easier to be like, I guess, forgotten.
So that was like your plan. Like, oh, if I go upstairs and I like kind of just like do my own thing, they'll figure it out.
Because
So
we
you
had
didn't
that
want
one
to be
spot.
figured out.
No. We had that one spot. I don't know if you remember, like right behind the recliner, it was like a little corner where we used to like, if you wanted to stay up late, that's where you stayed because no one looks there. So that was like my spot because no one looked there. Like you'd be forgotten there for hours,
It's
and
behind
that
the
was my spot.
wall. That's why, right? Because it's
Yeah,
behind the wall.
it was like behind the recliner, which was like in the middle for, it was a terrible layout. But like behind the recliner, so like don't look there because no one's gonna sit there. You can't see the TV. Even though like it's very clearly in the open, but like that's where people would just forget people sat.
Again, your house is like Grand Central Station, so also just like, you know,
Yeah.
like it's easy to kind of just like sit on the couch or sleep
Yeah,
on the couch, even if you're like not related.
I'm pretty sure only non-related people slept on the couch.
Yeah,
Everyone
I mean,
related had a room at one point.
right, that's true. I had a room. Okay, so let me just get this straight. So basically, 7th, 8th grade, okay, 9th grade, did the like, would you say like you were really bulimic? Like, would you say the bulimia got worse? Was it?
Like if any food came in, it was not staying down.
So you really weren't taking in calories.
No, but I think I felt more defeated about that than anything because I wasn't losing weight. Because my body must have been like absorbing whatever it could get, and I wasn't losing any weight. Like I'm looking back at pictures now, and in the moment, I thought I was the biggest human being. Like I'm looking back at pictures and I'm like, oh my God, I was so small. Like so small. But like really I started up more with the anorexia versus the bulimia in 10th grade. Like I wasn't taking in any food.
For how long?
I want to say, like, it sounds crazy, but like, I want to say, like, my longest was like 4 days without any food.
So how did your parents not pick that up? You think they did, and they were just like in denial?
I think there was a lot of denial. But I would also say, like, oh, yeah, I ate. Like, you just didn't realize. Like, I ate. At one point, I was taking, like, if there was sauce on the dinner, I would take a plate, put some sauce on it, put it in the garbage. And I was like, yeah, I ate. Look, it was there.
We're gonna have to put a major trigger warning at the front of this, because it's like, yeah, I
Ideas.
do.
I'm
I
sorry.
do. No, it's okay. I'm gonna make sure that like people who can't listen to this won't, because it's like it could be very triggering. But again, it's like interesting because it's not like you've got a lot of like when I was in high school, I was so dumb, but we had to read a book about anorexia in 9th grade, and it's like everybody knows now, like that's what you're literally like teaching people how to be like
Right, you're giving
anorexic.
ideas.
And again, you didn't like have any friends that were like bulimic or anorexic or anything like that.
No,
You
no. It was also one of those things where, like, now I feel like people talk about therapy a lot more.
for sure.
But, like, the idea of therapy was like, what are you talking about?
Did you
Like,
want to
now,
tell your parents?
there was a part of me that wanted to tell my dad, just because I felt like he might have more resources, because he is on Hatzola. And, like, I know he'd experienced things like this and, like, had dealt with things. I was very scared of telling my mom because I didn't want to let her down. Because, like, to me, my mom is perfect. As like she is the epitome of what I want to be. And like the idea of telling her, like, oh yeah, I don't feel good about something, or I'm trying to avoid something, I'm trying to change myself. Like, I was just like, oh, she didn't have to do this, so this is just gonna be like a failure.
Even though your mom's so not like that, and she's like,
No, not at all. She's the best.
no, she really is the best. I love you, Marnie, if you're listening. Okay, so what happened? Like, how did people end up eventually figuring it out?
So really, I made it through 10th grade.
Were you feeling really sick? Did you feel like shaky? Did you feel like something was up?
I felt crazy, like weak. I also used to do sit-ups like nonstop, and I was like, I am the strongest person.
Totally.
But it was, I want to say it was 10th grade, and I remember what we were having for dinner. That my mom kind of like called me out. We're having spaghetti and meatballs. I could still smell the garlic bread in the oven.
Also, your mom's a really good cook. I'm just saying.
Oh good, it's so good.
Yeah,
I don't know what I
yeah.
was doing. And I remember me and my sister had gotten into a fight, and you know the layout of our house. I don't know if you remember where the timeout spot was. And like, it's crazy to think, like, I was in 10th grade in the middle floor. You know how the bathroom's in kind of a nook?
Yeah.
That's where my mom put us when we were
Both of
like
you?
small children. She put both of us because we were having a really bad fight. And my mom was like giving it to us, and she's like, "And you're gonna go sit in the kitchen and you're gonna go eat dinner." And then she looked at me, she's like, "And I know you haven't eaten and you're gonna eat tonight." And like, I broke down. I broke down on everything. I think like even after that happened, there was still a bit of denial because like just to hear, like be like, "Wait, what? This is happening in our house? Like what on earth?"
I'm sure your parents didn't know then, like when your mom said that, like,
Oh, 100%.
yeah.
My parents knew everything.
Right.
They know everything that ever happened on
Yeah.
that house.
Yes, they do.
And so she basically like force fed me and didn't let me upstairs or into any bathroom like for the rest of the night. And I just remember feeling so defeated. I was like, oh my God, like I got caught. How am I gonna do this again? Like what? And it was really like a struggle because then my mom like watched every single thing. She threatened me with not being able to go back to camp. Because this was near the end of the year. She brought me into the doctor's office, and there was a female, I want to say she was a PA, but I genuinely don't remember. All I remember, it was not my childhood doctor, it was a woman. And she basically like sat me down. She's like, "This is going to affect your period. This is going to affect fertility. Like, you are causing irreparable damage." And I had to get weighed every week after that. Like, in camp, I had to go to the nurse's office and get weighed. My counselors were in on it. They knew how much I had to
By the way,
eat. Like,
you are so not the only one. Like, I know a lot of people that have to do this in camp. Just saying.
yeah, like I know now. Like, one summer I was working in the nurse's office, and like a girl came in super embarrassed, like, "I need the nurse. I have to go." And I was like, "Okay, like we'll go take you to the private room. We'll do it. Don't look." Like I like told her, I was like, "Don't look at the scale. Like that's not like this is we're gonna keep it. Like you don't have to look." Which was like the biggest thing for me was looking at the numbers on a scale. Like I used to go into my parents' bathroom and they had the oldest scale in the world, but I used to go on it every single day, like
Parents,
insanely
get rid of
OCD
your
about
scales, please. Please get rid
it.
of scales. It's
I
terrible.
mean, thinking back, the scale was definitely inaccurate. Like it was so old, it might have come out of one of their parents' house.
Probably.
Yeah. But yeah, that was like, I guess like the breakdown of all that. I genuinely don't remember if I started seeing a therapist then. I think I did. And she was not a great therapist. I went to the OHEL building and I got set up with this therapist who I don't regret anything that we did there. But I don't think it gave me any tools to help with what was actually going on. It was more of a distraction.
She wasn't an eating disorder therapist, right? No.
No, not at all. No, like her main focus was about like my depression and anxiety, which like I guess kind of peaked in 11th grade, which like I feel bad that like I'm jumping grades, but like
No, it's okay. I kind of get it.
11th grade was, I don't want to say the worst year of my life because I just don't want to say that, but it was a really bad year. I was not in school. Didn't really
By
show
the way,
up to school.
by this time, did your friends know? Like, by this time, did anyone outside your family know?
So by this time, my Friends have figured out the eating disorder aspects. One of my best friends actually has informed me years after that she used to call my other friend every single night because she didn't go to our high school and get an update on me every single day. Because she was like, we went out to eat. Sivvy usually gets a broccoli slice and a spinach slice. She didn't get any pizza. She got a diet Snapple. What is going on? And I love her for it. But yeah, she used to have like a conference call. It's like it was so legit. We had three people on the phone at once. It's like, great.
Friends pick
I
up
was
on
so
these things,
happy.
you know, like when you eat, people used to eat pizza and now they don't. Like people pick up on it, you know.
Yeah. So I was like, I think I was very happy that they had picked up on that and not other things. Because at this point, there was definitely like, yeah, you're definitely gonna need trigger warning. There was definitely like self-harm happening. And that didn't come out to like 11th grade. I was rarely in school. I didn't like I was having panic attacks every day, like not in school. I was sitting next to a girl and I was starting to have a panic attack. And I get super hot when I'm starting to have a panic attack. My body's in overdrive. I went to roll up my sleeves and she must have seen something. And she went, the assistant Hebrew principal is a family friend. I don't know if she's from Scranton or Chapman's Lake, one of the two, but she's like
Yeah.
friends with my family.
I don't know who that is, but okay.
And she went to her and she called my dad. And that's when, like, I think everyone kind of realized, like, okay, it's more than just an eating disorder. And it was like everything just kind of like blew out. Like everything went down. It was like intense therapy. I started seeing a psychiatrist. I was on medication. Like I was taking Klonopin every day for panic attacks. Like it was just a lot.
It came to a head, like the eating disorder was out of
Yeah.
control. Like
Yeah.
the everything was out of control, the anxiety, the depression.
Everything.
So that's what happened, you know?
Yeah, everything was out of control, and I didn't want to ask for help because I didn't want to admit anything was wrong. But it got to a point where it was just so bad. And like my dad bribed me with a trip to Israel if I went to school for a week. And I did. I went to Israel for the first time, and I was never someone who connected with prayer. Still to this day, like I really struggle. I sat at Kevracho for an hour and a half, just davening. And
This was
I
11th
think that
grade.
this is 11th grade. My brother was in Shana Bet, so that was like his excuse for going. But yeah, it was just crazy where that was winter break and I had gone for a week. I still didn't go to school after. It was really. Then everyone wanted to blame the anxiety on school. So like, oh, it's just too much, like Regents and tests and everything. And I hadn't studied for Regents. Like it wasn't a stressful thing. Like I didn't study, I passed, like I was doing fine in school. I think it was just the easy thing to blame. So my therapy then really was just surface level. It was trying to get me through the day, like not dealing with any trauma or anything. And I really, like, I shouldn't have graduated high school. I tell all my friends, I was like, I know everyone hates Regents in New York State, like state. Without them, I would have failed high school. Like they couldn't like legally hold me back. I took the required Regents. I got my diploma.
You also didn't like attend school so much in 12th grade, or it was just 11th grade?
12th grade, so I didn't really attend in 12th grade. I was definitely not as bad as 11th grade because by then I was on like a regimen of therapy and medication and things like that. And I think like every 12th grader, I was checked out, even though I was checked out since 9th grade. Like my school was very big on senioritis. Like the teachers were calling it that by like the third day of school. So I don't know. 12th grade is kind of like a blur to me. I tried to get involved. Like I was officially a yearbook editor. I don't remember doing much. I think I maybe sent out like two WhatsApp texts and I was like, I'm a yearbook editor.
So wait, so but let me just ask you a question. 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, that's 4 years. Did you have the same friends? Like, did you have, were your friends supportive? Like, did they like come into you?
I had a group of friends. They were amazing. I'm not really in touch with them now, just because like after seminary, like I don't know if this is just me or like I don't know, like groups of friends completely changed. If I see any of them, like I could talk for hours, but like we're
You have a lot
not
of
up to
friends
date
to
with each
me.
other.
Like a lot. Like at your shower, I was like, oh my gosh, whoa. And also like the new
100%.
bridal shower games were fun. Like I'm
Which
old
one?
with the shoe. That's
That's not
new.
new.
Yeah, it's
Is
new. Yeah, I've been married for 12 years. That's I've never seen
Well, you guys just did a video. I don't know if that's like new or just like different circles.
No, I had friends in all circles and I still have friends in all circles. I'm telling you, it's a new game.
No, because I remember you recording your, like you answering questions in the car ride up to Rochester.
Oh yeah, right. You were with me. That's really funny. Right, because you're we're so I'm 33, and how old are you?
I'm 23.
We're like such a different generation, but like we're not anymore, you know?
Yeah, like
Just the
we're a
way it
different
is.
generation, but like I grew up with you around the house.
Right. Yeah, but you were like so little. Like I got married at 21, so that means that you were 11.
Gila, you taught me how to straighten my hair.
I did.
Yeah, and
That's
I burnt
very
myself
helpful.
every single time I tried.
Oh God.
You got me a wet to dry
You're saying I
straightener.
did it, I taught you, but I didn't really teach you. Like
Yeah, no, you definitely failed in teaching, but it was a wet to
also because
it
I have
was a
straight I this isn't my hair, but I'm saying I have like the straightest hair ever and I would still like
Yeah, and
straighten.
I had brew, like I
Right.
have afro.
It's so funny that you
Yeah,
remember that. I do not remember
it
that. I'm
was red.
sorry. But really, think about it. Like if I lived at your house when I was 18, you were only 8.
Yeah, I was
I'm,
little.
that's really little. And I didn't even know that this was going on throughout your whole high school, which is like sad for me because I wish I would have been
Yeah,
able to help you, but I get it
I mean,
also.
like, yeah, I remember, I want to say it was like 4 years ago. Like I first told you about everything that went down, you started apologizing profusely because throughout high school you used to comment
Oh yeah.
about how I had lost weight.
I remember very clearly.
I like you apologized profusely, and I was just like, no, like totally nothing to apologize for.
I
Like
actually
in the
kind of
moment, like.
remember that, like saying like, oh my gosh, you look amazing. You lost so much weight. How did you lose it? And you, first of all, this is just so funny. You're like, I can't tell you. My mother doesn't let me tell, which is like amazing that you're like so respectful of your mother. I'm like, okay. But I think after you said that, I was like, wow, I really shouldn't tell young girls that you lost weight. Meaning, obviously, now I know that this is like your whole like life's mission. But like, even then, like, I was like, like, you know?
I like I remember it like I remember like giving you that answer and I'm like I'm so smart. No one knows.
Right. As I mean, once you said that, I was kind of like, oh, I guess Tibby is struggling with that, you know?
Yeah, but in my
So
head, I
yeah.
was like, oh, I'm so smart.
Right. It is really so sad though that like I mean that's where my like kind of journey started also in high school where like people would compliment my weight loss. I mean, I was trying to lose weight and you know, and like especially for somebody who's like struggling with like low self-esteem or whatever, they're not good at school. They don't have like a specific talent that they're good at. It's like, oh, my talent is like I can be skinny, which is so sad, but like that's just what happens.
Yeah, and like I don't even think like that was like to me, I was just like, look at the self-control I have.
Right.
Like I
I'm
was
so
just
glad.
like,
Yeah.
yeah, I didn't eat until 12 every day. Like that was like if I ate before then, I was like really disappointed in myself. Except for coffee. Coffee trumps
Of
everything.
course. Yeah, of
I
course.
mean, coffee's not food. It's sustenance.
Of course. Especially if you're a Polytop, you know, it's like
Oh my gosh.
just the smell, just the smell. I know.
Fresh
Le
roast.
chocolat. Le chocolat. So what we're I don't, we don't have so much time left, but how did you get from there to here?
So it was definitely not an easy path. I struggled immensely in seminary, even though like everyone's like, oh, seminary, the year of your life. Yeah, no, I did not do great. Didn't do great in
I
seminary.
can't believe you were even allowed to go to seminary.
So my therapist had convinced my parents that that was the smartest move for me to have the independence. Thinking back, yeah, no, I definitely shouldn't have been allowed to go to seminary. But I became such a different person. Was I in the best place? No, but besides for the fact that I made some really good friends, by then I wasn't really struggling so much with my eating and anything like that. I was actually helping two girls who had struggled with an like were actively struggling with an eating disorder. They had like come to me because I'm so open. I'm so open about everything. Like I told one of my friends, I was like, the people that read books and then make Spark Notes, they're doing it to help everyone else. So if I went through things and I could help anyone else, why not?
You didn't share it with me. Like, you didn't seem like an open book.
When?
I'm saying, like, when you were, I didn't know that you struggled in seminary. I didn't know any of that until you, like, told me. Like, I wouldn't have, like,
Right, because like you said
because I'm
before,
your
you're 10
cousin.
years older than me.
Right. To me, I
Like,
just
we
thought you were,
weren't
like,
like.
really, no, I just thought you were private about it. Like, I just, especially, it's funny because especially I remember
No.
you telling me, like, oh, my mother doesn't let me say. Like, I was like,
Well,
okay, I
that was
guess
also
this is.
high school.
No, I know, but still, it wasn't like we've hung out like at Cheva, like family Cheva Brachos. There's like a million of us,
Yeah.
like, you know,
There's
and
so
like
many.
we schmooze. Like, you would think that it
Because
would
it
come
never
up.
came up.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm a dietitian. You know what I do. Blah blah blah. You know.
Yeah. Well, I guess like I don't know, I guess in my head, like you're a dietitian. Like clearly you
Right.
know about all this. So like
Right.
what can I do to help you?
Right. But you're saying like anyone who would bring it up, you were totally fine to share.
Yeah. If anyone were to like ask me like, oh, what was your high school experience like? Like that was my letter to seminary. It was like tell something you struggled with.
My
And
God.
I wrote my entire high school experience. And the rabbi sat down. He's like, well, that was a lot. I was like, I just want you to know what you're getting yourself into.
Was it
Like,
Rabbi
I
Fitz?
wasn't shy. It was Rabbi
Yeah.
Fitz.
We went to the same seminary. Lots of follow up girls there. Okay, seminary. But the okay, we're gonna have to do part two because like people listening are gonna think like I wasn't so okay in high school and then I was okay. Not that you were so okay, but like the eating stuff just kind of like resolved. No, obviously not.
No, it definitely didn't resolve. I think that the eating was more of a different way of me coping with things. And I just found other ways to cope that still weren't healthy.
Right.
But like it sounds crazy. And like I know that this isn't how a lot of people go. I just got so tired. I got so tired where I was just like, whatever. Like if I'm not happy, why do I have to care about my body? Like it definitely went to a point where I was just so
Interesting.
miserable about everything that I was like, I don't even have the energy to
Yeah.
focus on this.
Right. That's
So,
common. That is actually common. Like, what eventually, like, the anorexia is just so exhausting. It's like, how much can I do this already?
it was definitely more like that. I was just like, I'm just so tired, and I can't even like get out of bed, let alone like. It's a lot of work and calculation going into
Right,
things
right.
because like to me I was like okay like I know that I get shaky so I have to have a little bit of this and like how much am I going to have to make sure that it's not too much like there was calculation there was definitely a thought process
Yeah.
and I just got too tired
Why do you think seminary was so bad?
I think it was so bad because I decided to take myself off medication.
Okay. Yeah. That'll do it.
Without the proper support, I was being like jumped around therapists in Israel, because they just weren't a good fit. Like just like a shidduch has to be a good shidduch, it wasn't working with therapists, and it was just really hard being
You
in a
went
different
off of
country.
medication going into Israel? Like, you went into
No, in Israel, I just decided to not take it anymore.
why?
I forgot for a few days and then I was like, oh, I'm totally okay.
Right.
And then, like, slowly but surely, it was just like very
Not
obvious that I wasn't.
right. Did you get back on the medication while you were in Israel?
It definitely went on and off. I wasn't on it like consistently in Israel at all, but I came home in the summer and I was back on my medication. I was super healthy, in a great mindset. And I was like, oh yeah, I could do Shana Bet. I can make up for Shana Aleph. Like, I'm gonna go to every single class. I'm gonna thrive. And then I went back to Shana Bet, and after a month, I was off of medication again.
Were your parents like ner a ner nervous wreck sending you to Israel?
No,
Like,
because I was lying to them. And
you
they
did it
know
all.
now that I was lying to them. I was like, oh yeah, no, I'm totally like, I'm going out, I'm going to
And they
these
believed
classes.
you?
Yeah, because yeah, I don't know.
And
They
then,
did.
okay, so then you go back to an event and you were also not okay.
Yeah, I was not okay. I actually almost left early. I almost left early. But then, funnily enough, I broke my wrist.
Of course you did.
And I broke my wrist, and it was kind of like a wake-up call to me where I was like, okay, like I'm in this cast for 3 months. At the end of 3 months, I'm home. Like I have this amount of time. Like this is all I have left. And I kind of like kicked it into high gear. And when I came back from Shana Bet, 2 months later, COVID hit,
Oh
and
my gosh.
everything I had worked on was done.
Right.
Was done. Yeah.
So
Even though I
COVID
went
was
straight to
probably
work,
not fun.
COVID was not fun. I am lucky because I was working. I started work right when I came back from Shana Bet. My mom got me a job at JCC.
With her.
Oh, no, I wasn't in her class.
But you were, but she was working there.
I had a ride to and from work.
Exactly.
And I was working through COVID. I would have a Zoom every day. Like I had not like the craziest of schedules. Like I definitely had too much free time, but I was on a Zoom every morning. I made videos every day. Like
Structure
I
helped
was
you.
doing things. Yeah. Structure definitely helped me. And actually, unfortunately, I kind of started like binging. Because like after every small thing I did, I was like, oh, I deserve a treat. And I just felt so bad about myself because even though I had like kind of gotten through like the anorexia and the bulimia and everything, my self-image and like body dysmorphia was at an all-time low. So even though I wasn't actively doing anything about it, I felt absolutely terrible in my skin. Like I didn't like I made these videos and I couldn't even watch them to make sure that like everything was okay. I was just like, whatever, I'm sending these, like they'll get approved or they won't, and that's it. And it was just like the worst feeling of not being able to look at myself. Like to this day, I haven't seen like my full body in like a mirror. Like to this day, which is not great, but yes.
So yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say that binging after anorexia and bulimia, even years later, like it's a compensatory weight gain or compensatory eating is like very normal because like a body needs a certain amount of stores of food, you know? And if it ever feels threatened, then it will do a lot to make sure that that never happens again. So the binging is actually really normal, even if it's years later. But there, we do also binge to like self-sabotage and punish ourselves. So that could also have just when we feel bad about ourselves, we're like, okay, fine, I'll just eat horribly, whatever that means, quote unquote, because it feels horrible. And so really matching the internal. Okay, so then what happened? Because now I first of all, I just want to say one thing. It's already 10:15 at night, so we could go for like a few more minutes. But the one thing that when you came over on Purim and we spoke about a little bit on texting is like the mikvah, which I don't want to like get into too much, but I wanted you to kind of like, now you're married and you married a great guy, Isaac, and I want to hear like how that came to be and like also like your journey with him, sharing with him about your eating disorder and stuff like that, like how that went. Had he ever did he know anything about eating disorders? But then you'll fast forward to like the mikvah part.
So I met him, his sister texted me. actually during nap time. And she's like, "Are you dating?" And I was like, "Trying to." Like, "Here's my brother." And I was like, "Great, we're gonna go out." Actually, our first date, he took me on two first. He took me to 16 Handles for the first time and Dave & Buster's for the first time. It was
Okay.
like the perfect date.
Really
Yeah.
cute.
So we went on our first date on December 26th of 2021.
My anniversary.
I know.
I couldn't believe it. 2021, so that was
I
3 years
did
ago.
babysit. I did babysit. I
Oh, right.
came back
Yes, you
from my
babysat.
date and I babysat, and the entire
Yes.
time I was looking at my phone. I was like, is he gonna text me? Is he gonna text me? Is he gonna text me?
Oh, yeah. After that, you never babysat again.
No,
Right.
never again.
You were really
and
busy.
oh, very, very
Yeah.
busy. We dated for a year, and
So right
then
away, wait, right away, you were comfortable with him and you liked him?
yeah. After like my first date, I was like, oh yeah, like this.
I mean, you guys
Yeah.
really are the cutest. Like, you really are like match made in heaven. No, you are. Come on. Like, it was chemistry right away, I'm sure.
Yeah, and like we just like even to this day we just have fun.
Yeah, you're really
We just
cute.
have so much fun together. So we dated for a year. We got engaged actually on December 25th of 2022.
Wait, so did you during that year, did you tell him before you got
So
engaged?
during that year we had definitely discussed a lot, but and like to this day I say Baruch Hashem, he didn't understand it. Like everything had never been anything that he had dealt with before, which might sound crazy that I'm saying Baruch Hashem, but like I'm just so happy he didn't have to experience anything.
Right.
I had brought him to my therapist actually for a few sessions, to try to have someone else explain things, because my current therapist is amazing. I love her. And she helped me explain, like he didn't even understand what like depression is. He's just like,
Right.
oh, so you were sad. And I was like,
Right.
ooh, it's a lot more. So she was amazing in helping to like explain everything and kind of like explain to him that sometimes, whether I want to or not, no matter what's going on in the world, I can have everything going perfectly and be having the most amazing time. I will sometimes just get like down. And I can't even explain it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And no problem.
He's probably like shopping or something. And he's being freaking out. Okay, so yeah, I heard you.
It was just like, it was like so hard to explain like the nuances of like, I can start to panic and not know what I'm panic about.
Right.
Like, I will sometimes, my leg will start jumping or like my hands will start twitching. And I know I'm going into panic mode, but I don't know what triggered it. Like, I'm just like, wait, we're sitting down eating ravioli. What is going on?
Were you scared to tell him?
At first, I was a little scared because I was like, oh, I really like this guy. Like, I don't want him to like run away. But then I was just like, well, you know what? If he runs away, he wasn't the one. And I'm
Right.
very happy he didn't run away.
Right.
He actually experienced the sickest before we got engaged. I had a really just like downfall. And he kind of experienced it firsthand. Where like we went out and I did not want to be anywhere. I wanted to be in my bed, not talking to anyone. And I think that kind of like scared him a little bit, as like it would scare anyone. And after that, like I really like I told him, I was like, okay, we're gonna go talk to my therapist, and like she's gonna help you explain that it has nothing to do with you.
Right.
As much as like I love you, and I do, like I always want you to be there. Like it had nothing to do with you. Like
Right.
everything was great. Like
Right.
there's sometimes times where you just can't explain.
Yeah.
So he was the most supportive about it, like
Wow.
the most. Yeah, no, he's great.
So nice. Really, really
Yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah.
So, but I have another funny question. This is just like always what like pops out at me. Were you like nervous for like his mother to find out, like his family to find out about that stuff?
I was a little nervous, but then like his family's amazing. I love them. Like we were just there last night, and I sat on like just chilled with his sister in the basement. We were watching a movie together. Like he was playing video games with his brother. Like we're so comfortable there. And his mom is amazing.
She's so
Like,
sweet.
I had a bit of a fear at one point, but then I was like, wait, like, this doesn't define me.
Wow.
Like, she knows who I am. And if she knows
Right.
that I have some struggles, like,
Right.
it's totally fine because that's not me.
Right. Wow.
It might have been what helped, like, build me and bring me to where I am today, but that's not me. Like, I'm not defined by that.
It's really beautiful to be like very profound. See, I think this is true. A lot of times when like people go through something like what you went through, like as a really young kid, and it sounds like it was a bunch of years, let's say 7th grade till now, there's, like you're still struggling. But you like get the therapy that you need, and you get the mental health support that you need, and you're like open about it, and you're like exactly what you just said, like you go to therapy, like you admit that there's an issue, you get what you need, you go on medication, like those are the strongest people mentally,
Yeah, it's really like this is what I've been like. It's like my motto. It's okay to not be okay.
right?
And we're like, that's where sometimes, yeah, in certain aspects of my life, I'm not okay with it. Like, I
Right.
don't feel great about it, but I'm
Right.
okay with that.
Right.
Like, it's sometimes okay to be uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's what, like, I think some people just don't understand. It's okay to not be okay.
Right. Right. A lot of us are conditioned to think like if you feel like, if you feel anything, if you feel sadness or even depression, or if you feel like lonely, it's like, oh my God, like do something, like eat something, or play a video game or whatever. And it's like one of the biggest things is just like, yeah, I'm just feeling really depressed. Like just to admit it and say it and feel
That's
it,
okay.
and that's okay. Yeah, totally. At least we're getting better. Our generation's getting better at that.
Lot more understanding.
It was definitely not like that when I was like your age, even
Yeah.
now, 10 years later, I'm so old.
No,
I'm embracing my old age.
never.
Yeah, but
In the
so
words
what
of Aunt
happened?
Shawnee, you're catching up. She tells me that every year on my birthday,
It's so cute
that
because
I'm
you guys have
catching
the
up to
same birth.
her.
Well, you have the same birthday.
Yeah.
So what happened when you got married? Like, let's say, like, yeah, just what happened?
So definitely, like, if you're okay with like the mikveh, like, it was
Yeah, sure.
definitely a huge struggle. And I thought I was the only one. Because like I had said before, I haven't seen my body, and it's not something where I'm ready to, because I'm so aware of the fact that I do distort what I see. Like, I know that what I'm looking at isn't what everyone else sees.
Right.
And the way I've gotten to this is because I remember what I thought I looked like in 10th grade,
Right.
and I look back at pictures and I'm like, that is so not what I saw.
Yeah, totally.
So that has been like a huge struggle for me. And like, the idea of mikvah is that like, you're prepping your body to do such an amazing mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah that I love. And it was something that was so hard for me to be like, okay, this is something that I'm not the most comfortable with, like being my body, and I'm supposed to be getting it ready for one of the most beautiful mitzvahs. Like, how am I supposed to do this? And it's definitely something that I've struggled with. And I thought I was the only one, because like in college classes, they're like, yes, the mikvah, it's amazing. And like, they prep you for other uncomfortable things, but not that. And I thought I was like alone. And I was just like, okay, fine. Like, I spoke to my therapist about it, but like, whatever. Like, it's just me. It's fine. And I actually had a few friends who know about what I've gone through that have recently gotten married. And they asked me, they're like, do you know, like, how do you do it? Like, I feel so uncomfortable. And they've never struggled with any sort of body image or anything. They're like, how do you do it? Like, how can you do it? And I told them my famous line, it's okay to not be okay. And I told them, I was like, when I'm there, like, I'm not focusing on that. I'm focusing on the fact that I'm getting ready to go do something that's amazing. And I don't check. Like, I have a little lady. I tell her flat out, I was like, I can't, like, and they're amazing. Like, the ladies that work there are amazing. And it's something that really isn't spoken about, which, like, I understand why. But at the same time, it's such a shock to a bunch of young girls that nowadays it is much more common that girls have struggled with that, and girls do struggle with body dysmorphia, that, like, I think it's something that more people have to talk about the fact that you're taking such care and preparing your body, which is something that's supposed to be getting ready for a huge mitzvah, but a bunch of girls don't love their body, which like it's so
Right.
hard to be like, how do you care for something and prepare it and beautify it when you don't care about it?
Or you don't love it.
Yeah.
Or you feel like disgusted by it. That's like a whole different level.
Yeah.
So is it like, to get technical, I guess, is it like the fact that like the mitzvah of preparing for the mikvah is all about like how your body is, your
Yeah.
like your undressed body, like every single area of your body. So it's like just
Yeah.
being so present with that.
Yeah, it's like being the fact that like, okay, the whole preparation of the mikvah is all to do with the physical.
Right.
Like spiritually, you are supposed to be getting ready, but like there's a bunch of physical things that you have to do where like it's not comfortable to. Like the idea of like when I first started getting like learning about it, and they're like, you have to sit in the back. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like,
Right.
that's not,
Yeah.
no.
Right. Right.
And there's a bunch of physical things that you have to do, which kind of make it harder to focus on the spiritual.
Right.
Because there's a checklist. Like, if you're
Right.
there, there's a whole
Yeah, and there
checklist.
is.
And
Yeah. Would you say that, I don't know if this was your, sorry, there's like a tiny bit of a lag, which is weird because it was working the whole time. Would you say that, you don't have to say, but would you say like asking a rev is like really important? Because like I'm sure there's hetirim for that.
Yeah, so I have a rep that I text all the time. He doesn't know my name, but he definitely has me on like one of his top texts. Like he's one of my pinned messages.
Is it a last name that starts with an S?
It is
Yeah, I'm sure.
very
I'm
convenient.
pretty sure we all text him. Yes, he's
Yeah.
amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, so I've asked literally everything. Like
Yeah.
everything.
Yeah. I think
Because
that's really
that was like,
important.
yeah,
Sorry
like
that there's
there
a delay.
was, it's fine. Because that was like a whole thing. Because one of the things I was told is that you have to check.
Right.
And I was like, I can't. Like I physically
Right.
can't.
Right.
And so that was something that I asked him. I was like, can I put it in the mikveh lady's hands? Because
Right.
like, I know that it's supposed to be on me. Like, can
Right.
I? And he actually reached out to the mikveh to get the okay for
Wow.
me. Yeah.
Oh, that's so special. I think that's really important for people to hear when it comes to any area of halacha, especially with eating disorders like fasting on Yom Kippur. That was like a really big deal when I had to tell a client that I really didn't think she should fast, you know, or like here, like this is a brand new mitzvah. You're newly married, and it's like these are the halachos, but it's like always ask a rav, just always ask a rav. Like there's so many heads. Not, I don't want to say like fish around for a head, or I'm just saying that like whenever something is like really, you know, interfering with your mental health, doesn't mean that you could do whatever you want, but like there's rabbis understand that, you know?
Yeah, like it's not fake. Like
Right,
it's
right,
real.
right.
And the Rebbeim just want to be able to help you achieve the mitzvah in a way that will make it the most meaningful for you.
Right, exactly. Okay, Tivi, I'm wrapping up. It's 10:30 at night. I'm like sleeping, and I hear people awake upstairs. So I'm gonna wrap up. But thank you
Hello.
so much. Thank you so much for coming on. This was like so amazing and informative and profound and moving and so many things. So I just like love you as my cousin and really admire you,
Yeah.
and I really appreciate you sharing your story.
Of course.
Okay, have a good night.
Night.
Bye. Thank you all so much for being here on my podcast, Get Into It with Gila.
If you'd like to learn more about what I do and what intuitive eating is, please visit my website at www.gilaglassberg.com or follow me on Instagram at Gila Glassberg. Thank you so much. Have a great day.